Friends in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. I'd like to share again with you the words of the Old Testament reading with a special focus on verses 10 and 13, which I believe you have in front of you on the screen. The prophet Amos, as the voice of one crying out in the midst of great wickedness in his time, says this: "Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor, and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses hewn of stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." And so we pray, "Give me thy courage, Lord, to speak whene'er the strong oppress the weak. Should I myself the victim be, help me forgive, remembering thee." Amen. Please be seated. "First they came" is a famous statement that is attributed to Pastor Martin Niemöller about the silence of the German population at the time the Nazis were rising to power and they were purging away group after group of their chosen targets. And it is a stinging indictment of those who remain silent in the face of these terrible crimes against humanity. And here's how it reads, this statement from Pastor Niemöller. He says, "When the Nazis came for the communists, I remained silent. I was not a communist. When they locked up the social democrats, I remained silent. I was not a social democrat. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out. I was not a trade unionist. When they came for the Jews, I remained silent. I was not a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out." The Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, did speak out against the Nazis. And he was executed as a result of his courage in speaking. Just as the war was coming to an end, he was executed. But he said this: "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." And he's right, of course, isn't he? St. James said in the fourth chapter of his epistle, he said, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and yet fails to do it, for him it is sin." But of course, it's not always easy to do what we know we should do, to do the right thing and to speak up against evil in our world. As a matter of fact, it can be downright perilous to speak up. But that's exactly what God wants his people to do, and they are commanded to do. So look at verse 10 of our text from Amos chapter 5. "They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth." As I already mentioned, the city gate in the Old Testament times was a place of justice. And that goes way back to the laws of Moses, back to Deuteronomy chapter 16, where the law of Moses says, "You shall appoint judges and officers in your gates, and they shall judge the people fairly." They shall judge the people fairly. But over time, Israel abandoned God. And having become unmoored from the law of God, the judges and all the other officials became godless. So that Amos complains that they turn justice into bitterness, and they cast righteousness to the ground, and they take bribes, and they deprive the poor of justice. The whole system had become corrupt. It was justice to the highest bidder. And those who tried to buck this corrupt system, by telling the truth, by trying to expose the corruption, by upholding justice. They were hated. They were detested in the gate. To speak up in defense of the innocent was to disrupt this whole corrupt system and to incur the wrath of some very powerful people. People who could send you to the gallows. It was a risky business to speak up against the evil of that day. And so that's why Amos says in the 13th verse, "Therefore he is prudent. He who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time." Now, prudence is usually a good thing, but not in this case. This prudence is selfish prudence. It is the prudence of silence in the face of evil. It is a prudence the goal of which is to keep safe by keeping quiet, keeping your mouth shut. It is the prudent silence of a church, for example, that will not speak out against the false worship of the lodges. Because to speak out is possibly to offend somebody, maybe to lose some church members or some prospective church members, and so the church is intimidated into keeping silent because it's safer to keep your mouth shut. But that silence is deadly because it enables members of the church to worship at two different altars that represent two entirely different gods. And that is deadly to the spirit because God will not share his glory with any other god, and he will not share the allegiance of your heart. It is the prudent silence that enables oppression and injustice. Listen again to the prophet Amos. He says in verse 11, "Therefore, you trample the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him." And again in verse 12, he says, "You have afflicted the righteous. You take bribes. You turn aside the needy at the gate." Proverbs 31 says, "Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, for the rights of the destitute. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." Because if you don't speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, if you don't speak up for the lives of the unborn, if you don't try to protect the elderly from abuse or euthanasia, if you don't try to take care of the poor and the needy, your silence is deadly because you are only allowing and enabling the oppression to continue. It's the prudent silence that can enable another Christian's fall from grace. So many times we've stood by as a family member or a church member descends into the abyss of some terrible sin. And nobody wants to say anything. Nobody wants to rock the boat. Nobody wants to offend that person. Nobody wants to risk the relationship or be accused of being judgmental. So we keep quiet. And we make excuses for the person. Well, it's not that bad. Thinking that that's the best way to love that person, when the truth is, we are just protecting ourselves. We are refusing to do what we read in Hebrews today, where it says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another, as long as it's called today, so that you may not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We are called to exhort one another, admonish one another, not to stay silent when we see a fellow member of the body of Christ slipping away into a sin, but to speak up. Because your silence is deadly, and it will enable a brother or a sister in Christ to fall from grace. Oh yeah, silence is prudent. As Amos says, if your goal is self-preservation, but by that silence, we stand condemned under the law of God. Yeah, Amos speaks to us all these thousands of years later. But thank God that when we stand condemned because of our refusal to speak out, when we were dead in our trespasses, he spoke up in the face of all the evil that was killing us. He first of all spoke up through his prophets, like Amos. Because in those days, the kings and the princes and the judges and even the priests just refused to speak up against the evil that had washed over Israel like a tsunami. But God called these few brave men, called them to speak for Him, to raise their voices, to call the people to repent, to call a sin, to call them to return to the Lord, and as Amos says, to seek good, not evil, that you may live. And as you might imagine, these prophets were hated. It was risky business being a prophet. How dare you call what I do a sin? How dare you call into question my personal integrity and my faith? And the prophets were ignored, they were ostracized, they were abused, they were persecuted, they were even killed. Because the people could not tolerate to have that voice rise up against the evil of their times and of their lives and of their words and conduct. And for hundreds of years at the close of the Old Testament, it seemed as if the voices of the prophets had been silenced. 400 years of prophetic silence until the voice of one calling in the wilderness, a voice that spoke up clearly, boldly, a voice that was not afraid to call a sin, a voice that was not afraid to speak to the spiritual leaders and call them a brood of vipers and hypocrites. Oh, John the Baptist was not exactly prudent in keeping silent during a time when speaking up could get you killed. But this same John the Baptist one day pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And now God has spoken to us by His Son." God broke the silence when His Word became flesh. And this Jesus, He was no silent observer of evil, was He? Wasn't it He who chased away the thieving merchants and the money changers that had infested the temple? Wasn't it He who challenged the pious, the pretentious self-righteousness of the Pharisees? Wasn't it He who brought justice to the oppressed and wholeness to those whose lives were broken and to hope to those who suffered? And yet, though He refused to keep quiet in the face of all the evil that was around Him, when that evil descended upon Him personally, Isaiah says, He remained silent before His accusers, like a lamb led to the slaughter. In the face of all that evil and injustice that engulfed Him, He didn't speak out. He wouldn't speak out. Because it was for this slaughter that He had come. It was to take the guilt of all of those times when we traded truth for our own safety. And to bear the punishment of all those times when, like Peter, our silence in the face of sin amounted to a denial that we even knew Jesus. And by His own sacrifice, His own silence, He willingly bore our sins. And all of our prudent silence and paid its terrible price. "It's finished," He said. And He died. But truth cannot be so easily squelched. Truth cannot be held back by anything, not even by death. And Jesus rose again. And we've risen with Him now to a new kind of life. A life like unto His. Now listen for the voice of Jesus as He breaks the silence and as He speaks to the evil in your life, not to condemn you, but as He says to you at the font, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." As He says to you in the absolution, "I forgive you all your sins." And as He says to you at His table, "Take it and eat, take it and drink. It's for you. For the remission of your sins." And by all of these words, the evil that had been killing us is crushed in defeat. And we are set free now to be the people of God. And now, people of God, the prophet says this: seek good, and the Lord Almighty will be with you. Hate evil. Love good. Maintain justice in the courts. And perhaps the Lord will have mercy. So my question to you today is this. Will you break the silence? Will you raise your voice against the evil so prevalent in this world and all around you? I know it's not easy. It is not prudent to speak in such an evil day, and it may be even downright dangerous and risky. But those unborn children need you to plead their cause. The poor and the destitute need you to stand up and speak for them. Christians who are falling away from grace need you to sound the alarm. Those who are caught up in the worship of a false god need you to get vocal about the truth. Victims of gossip and of rumor mongering beg you to speak well of them, to defend them, to take their side, to explain things in the kindest way. And in so many ways, the presence of evil in this world demands that we raise our voices in holy opposition. Because to remain silent in these situations is deadly. But to speak up is to be the voice of Jesus. May He give us that voice. In His name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.